Welcome to the Dumb Phone Show. My name is Jose Briones, and today we have Ember Kelly with us discussing her experience about the Shock Classic. How's it going, Ember?
Hey, it's going really well. I'm really excited to join you today.
I'm really happy that you're here. So tell us, why did you decide to get a dumb phone, and what dumb phone is that?
So I am the director of religious education at the Fourth Universalist Society in the city of New York. That's it's a pretty big handful of a title in a congregation. But I handle the education efforts at our congregation. And one of the things in this challenging time of being online so much because of COVID is I wanted to really consider what are the implications of digital minimalism. And so I came up with the idea of doing a digital minimalism journey through Lent. And actually, this had been cultivating in my mind for at least 2 years in conversations with friends and in just multiple ways that I had started cutting screen time a little bit. And I remember seeing a video, I want to say that I checked it recently, and it was about August. I saw someone say, "Hey, I switched to a brick phone." And I thought, okay, you know, maybe this is for me. But then everybody was like, "No, Ember, you're living in New York City. You can't switch to a dumb phone." Like we considered it, and it's impossible. And so I said, "You know what? Like, I'll hold off for now. I'm still figuring out life." But then actually, what really kicked off this minimalism journey through Lent idea was that one of my good friends, who I had talked to quite a bit about this, passed away in a sudden accident. And her and I had been talking about like switching to dumb phones, to switching to, a more digitally minimalist life. And I said, you know what, like, this is my impetus. I'm going to like really launch this effort kind of in her honor. And luckily around the same time, I had discovered your channel amongst a few other YouTubers, and it gave me an avenue for considering like what feature phone, what dumb phone, what brick phone it would be for me out there. I was really just looking for a few things, and that was WhatsApp, group texts, and then possibly being able to buy the tickets for like the transit here in New Jersey and possibly in New York. And so I ended up deciding on the Shock Classic, which I have now been using for almost 5 weeks, and I haven't looked back since.
Wow, that's good. And that's a very long journey in order to, you know, get to that. I'm sorry to hear about your friend, by the way. But definitely, I think that you're trying to educate other people and go further into that conversation that you started back then. It's really interesting that you chose the Shock Classic, because it's kind of like half Android, half feature phone, right? Like, you know, it is a flip phone, but it does have the ability to install a couple of apps here and there. So talk to me about your successes and about your frustrations over the last 5 weeks that you have done it.
Successes was getting group text to work, because at work, actually on Sunday mornings, when we have our services on Sunday mornings, kind of the backup to all of the Zoom technology is that we also have texting so that we can get a hold of each other that way. So we start a group text. And coincidentally, the week after I started the challenge, I was the one who was managing that service. And so I needed to be sending the group text. I'm like, okay, well, I got to figure this out. And I thought, like, it looked like the default app was going to do it, but then it didn't seem to let me. But I was able to find another app that did download, did install correctly, and has let me now group text. So that was like my biggest success, was figuring out group text. And then also figuring out the transit app turned out to be way easier than I expected. The only thing was is that like the big buttons that are on the main screen, you can't see what the words say, but because I've used the app on a smartphone and in other places, I knew like click this one to buy, click this one to view tickets, and then like I could get the tickets, and it was that easy. And so those were two big wins. Was getting that going. I think that the biggest challenge was the little mouse that comes with it. At first, it just kept popping up at the most random times, and then the times that I would want it for something, it wouldn't pop up. So I turned off originally, I think it was like the left button. I've got to look at it real quick. Yes. The left button on like the little keypad in the middle was originally like pull up the camera automatically. And I said, you know what? Like, I don't need the camera that quickly. If I'm ever taking a picture on this, I don't need it that quickly. And so I set it to that's pull up or put away the little cursor. And that was a real game changer for using it, because now I could pull that up or get it to go away whenever I was interacting with any of the apps. And it's really nice that like it doesn't, one of the things I really have liked is that it doesn't have like the Google Assistant or the any of that kind of the more invasive features built in. Facebook isn't automatically present on there. There's the browser if I want it, and there's the apps if I want to get them. But I have to really go around like the system to get the apps. So it's really helped me focus my digital minimalism.
That's amazing to hear. And of course, I mean, the Shock Classic is a very capable device, and I'm glad that you've been able to find the, you know, way to make group messaging work with a different app, and also that your transit thing, you know, for your app for commuting, it works. And I mean, those are the things, you know, you need to find something that works for you. Not every feature phone is for everybody, because some people need different applications like WhatsApp or having group messages or, you know, having something here and there. So finding something that works for you, it's definitely a good thing. Now, you mentioned that, you know, you work at the Fourth Universalist Society as the Religious Education Director. Again, a mouthful. But here we have a good portion of it is that, you know, being part of a religious community, how has that component been? Like, you know, has your spirituality increased, or have you felt more connected with other people? How is that interaction portion has been over the past few weeks that you have used the dumb phone?
So interestingly, before I made this jump, I kind of set like monthly intentions of like something that I really want to focus on as an area for personal growth or just development. And in January, besides also switching to gluten-free, which was its own adventure, I set aside the idea of, you know what, I'm not going to reach out to people proactively. Having lived abroad for a little while, I felt like often that I was the one like maintaining friendships by sending the messages out. And that I felt like, when did people ever actually just message me because they want to message me? It was usually me messaging others. And so in January, I said, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. I'm only going to message people who message me. And luckily, that seemed to shift me to really get me prepared for switching to a flip phone, because it's really made communication so much more intentional. The embracing digital minimalism has really just, I don't need the constant connection, but instead I can be forming deeper connections and really spending a lot more time interacting with people in much more concrete ways. Even if it's just like sitting down in a Zoom meeting with them, it's a little bit better than just, oh, I see you on Facebook, I'm going to send you a quick message. So I do still use Facebook for work. I haven't actually logged into my personal account on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter since Ash Wednesday. Actually, it was the week before Ash Wednesday, I believe, that I started. And so I've stepped away from those. I still use it for like uploading videos, for making the social media posts to promote events. But like I've stepped away from it besides that. And, you know, I think it's helped me focus less on like, oh, are the things I'm posting getting engagement from like people, to more like, is this resonating with people? Is this meaningful? It's been a profoundly spiritual experience for me, for sure.
That's good to hear. And definitely, you know, there are a variety of experiences out there. That's why we have this show where people can come on and just share their experiences. And, you know, after 5 weeks, this is kind of like a journey through Lent. Lent is about 40 days. If I'm not am I correct? Is it 40 days?
It's weird because it's like 40 days, but it doesn't include like Sundays and Friday. For a little time I was Catholic and I don't remember the exact rules, but it's from Ash Wednesday through Easter. So right. April 4 is the ending date.
Okay. There you go. So you have about two and a half weeks to go. And of course, you know, after that, what's your plan? Do you plan to keep going with this, or is it, you know, I tried it, it was good. Am I going back just for a season? How have you kind of like understood this for the future?
So originally, I think that there was part of me that thought I might go back, especially when I first started the challenge, that it was kind of like the escape valve, like, you know, if this really sucks, like then I can switch back to a smartphone afterwards if this just isn't doing the job. But by like 3 weeks in, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm really just not feeling like the strong pull to go back, and especially not to go back to the social media. And so I had my smartphone set aside, but then my wife dropped her phone in the water and it died. And I said, well, guess what? Like, I have an extra smartphone sitting around. So like, why don't you just take my old smartphone and I'm going to make the flip phone permanent. So it is official that it is now permanent unless I want to spend some money to get a new phone. And seeing as how I just spent money on the Shot Classic, that seems a little silly. And it's doing all the things I need it to. So I think it's staying around for me. I think as far as social media, I might consider, I was always a big fan of Twitter and I liked like the fun and news of it, but I think that's the only one that really tempts me to go back. But I might just like go back on Easter and just say, hey, the challenge is over, but guess what? I'm not coming back. Like, this is my final post. If you need me, I'm still on Messenger, but like, don't expect me to write back to your wall post because I'm not going to see it. So yeah, I think as I approach the end of Lent, it definitely seems less and less likely that I will go back to my previous habits.
You talked a little bit about your needs to have certain platforms like Facebook or Instagram in order to post for your community, right? Like, you have a job and you have to interact with this community. You have to post the videos and make sure that they're getting engagement or that they're meaningful for the community. Do you feel a little bit of a pressure in there to kind of go back and have those tools readily available, understand them from a different perspective? Do you ever fear that it's going to like set you behind and not understanding the knowledge work and the social media aspect of those things? Or have you come with different strategies to learn those and just apply them, you know, without having to actually engage on the platforms all the time?
I have to say the first thing that came to mind was, if you build it, they will come. But while not quoting movies, you know, I think that quality content is eventually going to win out over any sort of like artificial interaction. And like, the thing is that I'm not the only member of our social media team at the congregation. I don't need to be the one doing it all. And that's actually unhealthy for me to think that like I need to be the person cultivating all of this. And like, so the thing was, I deleted all of the apps because I kind of have an advantage, I think, with having an iPad, is because since things are siloed into apps or like the browsers, then it allows me to just delete the apps so I can have Messenger without having the Facebook app. And so then there's not that temptation to go hop on the Facebook app, but I can still keep in communication without having to open up Facebook for it as I would on a lot of browsers. And then my browser is just set for only the Creator Studio. Like, that's the only thing I can access. And so it's allowed me like to set really good boundaries. And I mean, I guess I'm not really too nervous. I think that it was something that you and I discussed in the video that you were featured on for my channel, was that the space away from technology gives you a lot more time to think, to research, to be even more in the know. Like, I think that we think that the internet keeps us in the know, but there's so many more ways to be present and interacting in this world that are going to really ground us in like the concreteness of what's going on in the here and now.
That's a great response. I mean, I definitely resonate with that. And that's something that I've learned over the past year, you know, where I have not been on social media as much, but it allows me to not only have deeper knowledge, read more books, but also deeper relationships. You know, that's a very important point. You mentioned that your wife, right, has a smartphone, right? So how is that dynamic has played in the family for you? Is it a positive one? Is it a straining one? It's been 5 weeks. So how does the family feel in that respect?
I think they've gotten used to the fact that I just read instead. That seems to have been my time filler, is that now I sit around reading, or I do a little bit of embroidery every once in a while now too. But so my family seems to have adapted to it. I think it makes me, we do have two kids, ages 7 and 4. I think it makes me really conscious of like how much screens they're using. We've actually, we gave them a week that we said, you know what, like no screens this week. You don't need video games. You guys have been really going above and beyond like what we would like you to do. Like, so let's step away from the screens for a week just for you guys to reevaluate. And like that was really good for them to kind of like not, like, they listen to podcasts, they listen to songs instead of like constantly looking at screens. And you know, I think one of the other things that I decided to do as part of like my structure for Lent was that I said, I am only going to watch TV when my family is watching TV. Like, I'm not gonna, I will allow myself, I have allotted 1 hour for YouTube in the morning and 30 minutes of something, or maybe an episode of something if it's slightly longer than 30 minutes at night. And that, like, that's it for things that I'm allowed to watch streaming by myself. And if it's something outside of that, it needs to be something that I'm okay watching with the whole family. So I think it's made me more social and connected with them, as well as just more aware of their habits. And I mean, it also gives me that fail safe that, like, if I'm struggling with needing to do something, that she has her smartphone there. But for the most part, we've taken up geocaching a little bit as a family. But for the most part, you know, we'll get like the coordinates on her phone, but then I love maps and I love like figuring out directions and stuff. And I go and find, like, I'll figure out the location and then like, we'll just pull up the phone again, only to just register that we got it. You know, I think it's there if we need it for something, but I haven't felt a need to really rely on her as like the person for phone. Like when I traveled to Brooklyn recently, I only had my smartphone and I just wrote down the directions before. I have a journal that I, like a small journal that I can now bring with me places. So if I have an immediate thought, I can write it down. If I need directions, I can write them down. If there's something I need to remember, I can write it down beforehand. And yeah, you know, I think while having that around, it hasn't dominated things. I haven't constantly been wanting to grab it from her or anything to do stuff.
That's a very good reflection. And especially since you're talking about family and family time, it seems to me that you're trying to approach it also from a relearning perspective. That is to say, I'm not going to binge watch. I'm not going to do these things just by myself. But if I'm going to watch something, I'm going to involve my family in it. And I think that's a positive thing because, you know, a lot of purists, like, you know, idealists will say, oh, use the screen less. Don't watch TV. You know, don't do these things. But if those are the things that are bonding experiences for your family, especially during the pandemic, right, where a lot of families are inside and it's difficult to manage children, especially little children, right? Like, you know, it's difficult to do that. Well, maybe that's an opportunity to watch something that's educational, an opportunity to watch something together instead of just like, oh, you know, mommy is watching this, daddy is watching this, you know, whatever it is. Instead of like, we can as a family just watch it all together, you know, and whatnot, depending on your family type and relationships that you have.
Right. Well, and actually, my 4-year-old, we've been doing a lot of documentaries recently, since my 7-year-old, he lost a little bit more screen time because he was having some bad attitude about the previous lost screen time. And so we said, you know what, let's take 2 weeks away from screens if that's what we got to do. So the 4-year-old's had a little bit more say, but we said, you know, we're going to pick the movies still for this week. And so we've been watching a lot of documentaries. And this morning he's like, okay, so we'll do this after we watch documentaries today. So, you know, now he's like, documentaries is just going to be the thing that we do. And, you know, in the same sense, we also, they had been kind of just like watching some YouTube videos tonight at night to kind of like chill out before bed while we were like getting ready and everything. Now they've switched to like watching really educational videos as like a solid alternative. So yeah, I mean, it just makes you really conscious about what you're doing. And, you know, there's part of me that really wants to be this idealist, but I'm also just like this huge pragmatist that's like, okay, what is the real parts of my life and how can like I actually pull this off in a healthy and realistic way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you one more question and then we're going to get to a final word. And that is, What do you see now that you have kind of amassed all of this information, embrace a little bit more of digital minimalism? What is something that you want to relate to people as you encounter them? What was something, a learning experience that you have had during this past 5 weeks that you just want to express to others as well?
Whew. That is trying to pick just one thing. I think that the first thing that comes to mind is that like, the world doesn't have to be scary. I think that between like the way that our phones constantly keep us like on alert and the way that our phones also like are constantly feeding us like the stream of bad news. And that then also we use them as a crutch, like maybe when we have social anxiety that we don't want to interact with others or that we're in a place and we don't want to ask for directions because we're a little bit afraid of that, or that we're just afraid of everything going on around us. And so we just want to like look at our phone. It's just, the world is so beautiful if you just take the time, like even living in New York City, which many people are afraid of, like big cities, like getting to just walk around and admire the streets and admire these huge buildings and also see the little touches of nature peeking out and just seeing this all and talking with random strangers, getting directions, figuring out directions on your own. It's such a beautiful experience. We don't constantly need technology to make us feel safe. When in fact, really, I think it makes us often feel more worried.
That's a great response. Thank you very much for that. Well, Ember, thank you very much for coming in to the show. We really appreciate just hearing about your experience, about your insights, about the dumb phone that you're using. This is your time. If you want to say anything, if you want to promote also the Fourth Universalist Society, whatever the website is, please tell us so that, you know, people can get engaged in that space as well.
This is a little backwards for me. I'm used to being the podcast host and doing this. So now all of a sudden I have to think about these things. But so Fourth Universalist Society, you can find us at the4thu.org. So 4thu.org. And we are in New York City, right near Central Park. So if post-pandemic you're ever up in Central Park and want to come see a beautiful church building, we are on Central Park West, and you can come check us out there as well. And so on our website, we do have links to also, we run podcasts. We have our YouTube channel that's really active, Instagram, Facebook, and there's a variety of things. They're all linked on our education part of our website. And so that's probably easier than giving you 10 separate links.
Thank you very much again, Ember. That has been the Dumb Phone Show. Thank you for listening today. My name is Jose Briones, and make sure to click all the links below to check out the content. Again, 4thu.org. That's the Fourth Universalist Society right there. Thank you for listening again. And as always, we remind you to be focused on your goals.